Hi, I'm Paul Meissner. When I'm not sliding down a sheet of ice, chasing rocks and yelling at people, I'm listening to John Garrett on the Green Apple Podcast.
Welcome to episode 88 of the Green Apple Podcast, where each Wednesday I interview a professional known for a hobby or a passion, making them stand out like a green apple in a red apple world. And to put it another way, it's like helping people find their and, as in my guest Paul Meissner is an accountant and plays curling. And as you'll hear, the curling has generated a lot of interest from clients, and there's a lot of science behind why this is, because there's chemicals in your brain that are released when you meet interesting people that do curling. Things like norepinephrine, which create engagement, and another one called oxytocin, which creates trust and bonding. And both of these are really, really crucial to developing a positive corporate culture, and in Paul's case, some really strong client relationships. And before I get to this week's guest, just a quick favor to ask of you, if you like the show and are listening on iTunes or your favorite Android app, it'd be really, really cool if you could just leave a 5-star rating and maybe a comment, because people have been telling me how they really like how unique the Green Apple Podcast is, and because it's the least businessy show out there, and telling people's stories as opposed to just regurgitating a lot of business stuff. So you doing this would be a huge help for others to learn about the show, so thank you so, so much. And now it's time to introduce you to this week's guest, Paul Meissner. He's a director at Five Ways Group Chartered Accountants in Melbourne, Australia, and the co-host of the podcast From the Trenches. And I'm so jacked up to have you on the show, Paul, so thank you so much for being with me today on the Green Apple Podcast.
You're welcome. I'm really, really pumped to be here. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, you've got your podcast, From the Trenches, right?
And, From the Trenches, yes. An industry perspective of accountants in the practice. So, yeah, we really enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah. And you guys are rocking and rolling. And I was like, I got to get these guys on the show. So so I appreciate you taking time to from signing all your autographs to come over and have a chat with me. So I appreciate it.
No problems at all.
Yeah, yeah. And I gave everybody a little bit of an introduction, but maybe in your own words, kind of what you're up to now in the accounting world.
Thanks. Yeah. So I run an accounting firm, just a small practice, 100% cloud-based, Five Ways Group. Also started a software conversion business over the journey.
Oh, wow.
That was sort of, a couple of years ago. I built a travel app that never really went much anywhere.
Okay.
I've also sort of starting to get into online training for accountants, Freedom Accounting System.
Great.
Yeah, and a lot. Got two wonderful kids, married, and still sort of find some time for a bit of sport, a bit of curling, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
A bit of umpiring and some other things. So I keep myself busy. I also am on a few boards and committees, especially of our accounting bodies out here, Chartered Accountants Australia, New Zealand.
Cool.
So keep myself busy.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. And how'd you come up with Five Ways Group? How'd you come up with that name?
It's an old slide I saw, and it stood for five different things: grow, create, manage, protect, plan, according to the marketers. But for me, it stood for being more than just filling in a form.
Right.
We were about the whole client. We were their friend in a way, professional sounding board.
Sure.
We were there to talk to them about, because as accountants, we don't necessarily need to sell extra services like cash flows or other things. But, I find that we really build a relationship with our clients. And sometimes if cash flow's bad or, mental health's a big thing lately, you've really got to speak to some clients in some unfortunately dark times. And, you really become a shoulder for them in a sense. So the Five Ways just stood for, I guess a little bit more holistic.
I love that, man.
It was good. It resonated with me. So, it was good.
Yeah, that works, man. And one question that I love to ask everybody, just because everyone's got a unique story, is just how'd you get into accounting?
My dad's an accountant.
There we go.
He was. And my dad was really supportive. He always said, go out on your own, do whatever you want. He gave me endless amounts of sort of work experience while I was going through school and uni whenever I wanted. But when I got out of uni, he sort of shut the door in a professional sense and said, you can't come and work for me. Go and find your own feet. And
wow.
He helped me get some interviews, which ultimately was funny. I was talking about this with people last night, and he got me two interviews for my first grad job. And I actually took a third job, which I got on my own as a job interview.
Right.
And ended up, and that sort of started my accounting career. And I never went back to my dad's firm, but it taught me a good lesson that, you know, you can't just walk into things. These sort of generational businesses are really tough. You've got to go and find your own experience. But he was always there to sort of chat. And I think he was more worried when I started my own firm than I was. I told
right.
I was going out on my own, and right. I wasn't going to use my name as the title for the business, which he sort of right. couldn't get over.
Yeah.
And yeah, I wasn't going to have an office, and I was going to be 100% remote. And he just sort of thought, oh, this is not how accounting works. You know, it's not going to work at all. But that was only because he sort of, you know, he loved me and he wanted the best, but he sort of couldn't see how this technology was going to work. It was quite funny.
Yeah, yeah. Now you're rocking it. And I love that. And congrats on all the success. So that's
Thanks, man. That's
really awesome. Really awesome. And I know that running your own firm isn't easy and takes a lot of time, but I love how you carve out some time, like you mentioned, for mostly sport-related activities and some hobbies and passions that are kind of unique.
And I think it's funny. People sort of say, look, how do you find the time? And I actually thought about it the other day, and it was – I don't spend a lot of time wondering whether something's worth doing or whether I can do it well or whether, you know, I kind of just do it.
Right, right.
If you want to, you know, so like in a way, keep moving forward, keep trying stuff. And if that's recording the first podcast, some people will kind of go, well, you know, we need a website, we need, and we, you know, what are we going to do for the 100th episode and how are we going to, no. Just record the first one, guys. Like, yeah, just do it. Just grab the nearest microphone. Just do it.
Right.
You know, oh, I don't know how many blogs I can write. Well, write the first one. Like, just keep moving, sort of.
Yeah.
So you kind of have a lot of time if you don't waste time wondering whether you should do something. You know, kind of by the time people have stopped wondering, I've done it, or I've at least
attempted it.
And if it's worked, it's worked. And if it's not, you stop.
That's such a great philosophy, though. It really is. Because, I mean, you know, perfectionists get locked up and, you know, you just want it to be perfect. You want to be whatever. And it's like, you know, just go out and do it. I mean, it's much better. What's the phrase? Done is better than perfect.
Exactly.
So, exactly.
So, yeah.
Just throw it out there.
Keep trying it.
No, that's great. That's great.
You don't know till you try.
Yeah. I mean, I love the diversity of it, but, you know, baseball umpiring and curling and some shotgun clay shooting, you know, that's quite the trifecta there.
It's pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you get to an age where you can't play sport anymore. And,
right.
And so I was a baseballer, and then nobody, there's a very, very big shortage of umpires because they keep getting yelled at,
right.
which I'm sure we'll cover. But,
right.
So it was just, somebody said one day, like, we need an umpire. Who wants to do it? I'm like, all right, I'll do it. Like, kind of whatever.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I sort of just tried it and wanted to stop getting yelled at. So decided I'd learn how to do it properly.
Right. Yeah. That's very funny. And then you got married and then it was all over again. And,
exactly. Yeah. 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 But in curling, I mean, curling's an interesting story. So a group of mates and I, we used to race, downhill skiing.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
Yeah, well, back at school we raced, and at uni there was a group of us that sort of still raced in the university competitions, and we all got too old for that. Some of the group had blown out knees and all sorts of things, but we were looking for the next sort of thing, and we always say we were too young at the time to take up golf, but we loved winter sports, so
right.
we took curling, which amazes people. When people hear about it, they all do the brushing motion.
Right.
I don't know what it is. Like, whenever, like, walk up to someone and go, have you ever heard of curling?
Right.
And they will immediately grab a pretend broom.
I'm doing it right now as we're talking.
They will. People do it. Like, it happened last night. Like, it was,
so
anyway,
funny.
Every time you mention, they go, oh, quick, sweep. Like, why do you, anyway, well, it's hilarious.
It would be much more awkward for someone to get down as if they're throwing the stones, though. I mean, that would be really weird. I mean, at least the broom motion is not as odd as somebody, you know, doing nearly the splits, you know, down super low,
true,
eyeing up the stones. That would be really funny.
Especially without warming up.
Right.
Yeah.
That would be funny. I actually did some curling myself when I lived in Wisconsin. I used to live in Milwaukee. And yeah, I did one winter, just like a club thing. And that was going to be my ticket to the Olympics, because I was like, oh, I can make it to the Olympics in this. I mean, come on. Like, you know, it's not really that much. And then I started doing it. And I'm like, wow, this is a lot harder than it looks like on TV. That's for sure.
And that's what we found. We said the same thing. You know, if you want to be good at something, pick something no one else does.
Right, right.
And then we got there and went, hang on. There's a little bit to this. There's a little bit much to this, but we're still having fun.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, how did I pull my hamstring? That's weird. Like, you know,
the first time I curled, I actually split my jeans. Because I didn't know what to wear.
Right, yeah.
So my first slide, I had a few, someone else was driving,
sure.
But we'd headed down the highway and we'd had a few beers on the way down, not the driver, of course.
Sure.
But anyway, yeah, we were in jeans and we're like, oh, we're on a road trip and kind of went curling. I split the jeans, had an immense amount of fun, and then had to drive back the highway with sort of a ventilation bit in the pants. But I learned to wear tracksuit pants after that.
That's
a funny story about, you know, how you start in a sport and it just, it takes you.
So the big takeaway from this episode, everyone, is wear wind pants if you're going to go curling. Like, that's it.
No.
Yeah, yeah. That's so great.
That is.
Yeah, and so what were some of the cooler, most rewarding things that you got to do from curling?
One day I got the opportunity with my team to play against the gold medal winning Canadian wheelchair side.
Oh, wow.
And they brought their gold medals, actually. We got photos with them after the game. And as a 20, you know, young 20-something year old, you grow up largely I'd never met disabled athletes.
Sure.
You know, rightly or wrongly, you just don't know. But
yeah.
When you can play a sport with people who are at absolutely the top of their game, gold medal, Olympic, Winter Olympians,
right?
And you can just have the honor of playing on the same ice with them, and then they gave us a toweling like they were.
Yeah, they just whip you. They were the
nicest. We had the best fun.
Right.
We learned so much about the game. We learned so much about, you know, ourselves and just the equality of things. And that's what I've always really loved about the sport is. Men, women, children, big, small, old, young, disabled, abled, play on the same ice,
right?
Drink at the same bar after the game, and can share stories about the same sport,
right?
And that's sort of been something big that was really stood out for me as probably the best game. And then the day later, someone said, "Oh, look, do you mind if Greg plays with you?" And we're like, "Whatever, who's Greg?"
Right.
Like,
you're right. Greg, who?
This guy walked in and. It happens to be Greg McCauley, who actually kind of became quite a good friend of our team, and he's an ex-world champion.
Wow.
So him and his daughters, who our team's also become great friends with, like he waltzes in and goes, "Oh, guys, do you want a pickup game?" Like an ex-world champion.
Right, right.
he hears that there's a couple of Aussie, absolute amateurs,
right.
And says, "Look, guys, let's just get into a pickup game and have a bit of fun and chat about the game." And we ended up either on that trip or the sort of the next trip having a barbie in his backyard, just talking about, talking about the sport. But it's such a leveling game, such an equality game, which I've always loved about it.
Right. Right. I mean, those stories are amazing. And especially to happen within the same week like that, you know, that's awesome. That's really, really cool.
It was pretty surreal.
Yeah.
It was pretty surreal. But I guess, I mean, in life, quality is such a big part of everything. And if you grow up,
right.
Playing, you know, sports that are segregated or sports that are,
right.
Or not playing sport and, you know, you might go to a same-sex school or whatever.
Right.
You don't often see that or experience those times.
Yeah.
Outside of work, you know, like for some of us, work's the first time that we mix with the other sex or mix with people who are older than us, who aren't otherwise like teachers or stuff. But
right.
To share the ice with them and play on an absolute equal playing field.
Yeah.
Is amazing.
No, that's really good. That's really good. And a lot of people that, I mean, I remember when I was working Big Four myself and, you know, just people that I talk with, they always think that their hobbies or their passions are kind of throwaways. And I always like to tell them that, you know, no, there's like real tangible takeaways from these hobbies. And I have to believe that, you know, all of this, you know, translates to the office in some way, I'd have to imagine for you.
Look, absolutely. And I think as well, you've got to have the release. And one of the best parts about curling actually is, or the most fun parts, apart from the sweeping, because that's what everyone knows. And no, it doesn't translate into sweeping at home. That's what everyone wants to know.
Right.
My wife will attest to the fact it doesn't. It doesn't translate.
It's a different kind of broom. You can't. You only use one kind of broom.
That's what I tell her.
I don't know.
If we lived in an ice house with an ice floor, I'd be able to sweep it. But sadly, Sadly, we don't. But part of curling is actually yelling. I don't know whether, I mean, you've played, but
sure.
you actually can yell.
Yeah.
And there is something very therapeutic about heading out to a curling center on after a tough day or a tough week.
Right.
And being able to just yell with no recriminations or without anyone getting offended. You can just yell and sweep as hard as you can. And, yeah. And I think that's just great. You know, everyone wants to go and blow off a bit of steam.
Yeah.
And that's also quite a good break.
Yeah. And it's not the normal talking about work more. You're able to escape and get out and all that. And I'd imagine that, yeah, I mean, the skills, the team building skills, the dynamics, like you said, of being with different kinds of people on the team and everyone's got their own role.
And that's exactly right. And that's probably the biggest sort of challenge with the sport is there's really no individual. You're only as good as the weakest link. You can't be a lot of sports. You can be carried by the best player. You know, the best player can dominate and you'll win just on the back of.
For sure.
When I played junior footy, I played with two guys. It was, you know, there's 18 or something on the field. There was two guys who went on to play top level and we were under 10s. We won the premiership and I don't think I touched the ball the whole year.
Wow.
Because these two guys just ran it
right.
and scored all our goals. And the rest of us were kids. Well, we were kids right. under 10s. We just ran around. We won the premiership. And still, you know, one of the greatest teams I've been in didn't touch the ball. So largely, you know, it doesn't matter. But curling, you can't have that.
Right.
It really takes all four members to get it right. But the real bit is it only takes one to mess it up.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a real metaphor for work, I guess, is that you're all part of a team and the communication, you have to work together because of that. You all rely on each other. Not only to do your job, but to not mess up anyone else's
right.
job. And
right.
And the communication is often the hardest because even when plans change or you might be, you know, you call a shot and you might think that you're all doing this, but halfway down something happens and you have to change your mind. I mean, if you had four people in a room and you quickly had to change your mind while stuff was happening, could you efficiently communicate it so that everyone knew that you'd changed your mind? You didn't have time to write a report or
right.
you don't have time to sort of make sure everyone's happy.
Right.
No. Like, guys, it's changed. Just yell more. Just right, and right. generally, it's just yell more. And you've got to, you know, you've kind of largely got to know who's calling what, who's yelling what and why.
Right.
And you've all got to get on the same page quick. And that's, you know, a real challenge and a real skill. In life, you've really got to look for the experiences. I think you've got to look for your positives. I'm not particularly introspective or looking for meaning in everything, but you know, I want to see where those translatable skills are, why we're doing something, and certainly, you know, the communication in curling and being able to work together as a team is a really good skill.
Yeah, I mean, and especially when you have your own business and you have a team underneath you, and yeah, and even talking with clients, you know, that's huge.
Exactly. Yeah, like you've got to be able to effectively communicate with anyone. I mean, look, it's also just fun.
Well, that's the best part about it, you know.
And I've taken clients. You know, I've taken work colleagues. I've taken clients.
Oh, that's awesome.
Every time people sort of say, you know, now what's this I hear about curling? You know, sort of, it's like what? They're just what? Really?
Yeah. Do I have to bring my own broom or how's this work?
Exactly. Everyone says, do you wear skates? You don't
right,
wear ice.
Just skates. That would be terrible.
That's what everyone says. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And then also like people go, oh, you're the Jamaican bobsled team. You're bobsleds. I'm like, no, we're not. Like, oh, all right, we are. Like, whatever.
Right. That's super fun.
If that helps you.
Yeah.
And I guess the other thing is coming back to that, you know, such a level playing field as a corporate activity.
Right.
I've taken groups with old, young men and women, not children, obviously, because it's a work thing. But, you know, you don't often do that. If you do a golf day, then there's people that haven't played golf.
Yeah.
If you do basketball, then, you know, the stronger, faster,
taller,
exactly. Yeah, we'll exclude the others. It's great because you're pretty much 99% guaranteed that nobody's done it before.
Right.
So you're all learning, you're all picking it up, and you're all out of your – largely out of your comfort zone. So
right.
as a team building activity for anyone out there, hit up your local curling club. You always got to support your local curling club.
Right.
It is a wonderful team building exercise.
Right.
And a bit of fun and a little bit a bit kitsch.
Just don't show up everybody in jeans because then you'll be in trouble. No, but right.
Someone wore high heels the other night.
Wow.
Corporate. I don't know how she didn't.
Yeah.
She fell a good couple of times. I've never seen it. It was a big platform.
Yeah.
High heels. I still shake my head. I can't believe it. Anyway.
Yes. But I love that how you said, you know, it's out of everyone's comfort zone for the most part. So that means that everyone grabs onto each other subconsciously stronger because, you know, it's like, hey, none of us know what we're doing. So you build those bonds together that that really, you know, when it comes to engagement and the buzzwords like that, you know, that's a simple thing that that's fun and everyone can do it. And that's a great idea, man. That's really cool.
It doesn't matter whether you're the oldest partner of the business or the boss of the business or the youngest receptionist. You're all together and you're all equal. You know, often it's
right.
bad, right, when you start.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, you have fun. And you can yell at each other in a safe environment.
Right.
yelling at your boss without without any recrimination is actually a good thing. Try it. Don't try it at work. Just try it on the right. curling ice. It's great.
That's fantastic. I love that, man. And so have you always shared that in all the jobs that you've had that, you know, hey, I have these other activities?
You know, it's funny. I really think that when I was a grad or early in my career, you don't by habit, not that you're necessarily ashamed by it. You just don't think to share it.
Right.
Accounting sort of 15 years ago, accounting firms didn't really, you sort of said, oh, what did you do on the weekend? And you'd tell people, it wasn't hidden, but it sort of wasn't, put on a CV or necessarily put on, I think LinkedIn was around as much when I was that young. But, I think certainly the times are changing.
Yeah.
You know, you sort of see now more people are free to talk about these kind of things, but to see people's, their faces light up with interest. They're like curling. Oh my God, never met a curler. Like I've watched it on TV. So kind of the first couple of times that happens, you sort of think, okay, well, you know, I can talk about it. Not that I didn't deliberately, but you just feel like, people didn't want to hear about what you got up to.
Yeah. And did you feel like once you were sharing that, like you said, people's faces light up and that's what I find is that I think a lot of that is in our own heads of what we think other people are going to judge us or other people are going to say.
And it depends. It depends what it is. I mean, you look at, and I love that the podcast, you know, you did with the engineer who was also a model and
oh, Amy Hancock.
She talked about the impact on the role sexism plays in the workplace.
Sure.
You know, certainly curling or baseball umpiring doesn't have that level. So I think you've got to look, it's different what your hobby is.
Sure.
You know, you mentioned that, I mean, I'm a shotgun shooter and you don't necessarily stroll into work and go, yeah, you know, I went down and shot a couple of hundred rounds.
Pull a couple of shells out of your pocket and set them on your desk.
I had one once. I found it in my pocket. And I think that wasn't a good look. I just remembered that. I was told to get rid of it. but it was just in my bag from the weekend. It's crazy. So certainly that was something I never shared for fear of the stigma or what it was. It was weird. But you know, I've never felt as safe. It's weird. You sort of stand in a gun club and you know everyone's got a gun. And police come past and they've got guns and they walk up and have a chat and they drive through the car park and they wave to the locals and they'll come and watch you shoot and have a chat and whatever. And I've kind of never felt as safe around, you know, than at a gun club.
That's ironic.
At least you know
everyone. Yeah. With all the ammunition everywhere. Yeah.
You know everyone's registered and trained and whatever. But yeah, it's hard when you get, you know, when you get a young family, you know, you don't want that. But you also, it's not something you want to tell your boss. It's like, I got, you know, three shotguns in my backyard.
What did you say bad about me again? I was reading my review. And,
yeah, well, right. It's funny with the more prevalence of mental health issues now.
Yeah.
You know, those sort of things become bigger, and we never had that in Australia. I mean, we did with gun violence, but largely right. sorted that out.
And that one is a unique one where it does have a political flavor to it, you know, where most hobbies and passions really don't. Like you said, the umpiring, baseball umpiring and curling, you know, those are free to talk about. One thing that I struggle with is just how much do you think it's on the organization to create a culture, I'm sure like you have there at Five Ways Group, where it's okay for people to share what they hobbies and passions and almost celebrate that, versus it's more on the individual to step up or to share within a small circle, even in the most dire situations of where you're working.
Look, I mean, culture's top down, right? Like I think in any organization, be it an accounting firm, be it a corporate, whatever, it's got to come from the top. And you know, I had in my first grad job, I had a partner or a boss who played AFL football, you know, played at the top level of football in Australia.
Yeah, and, wow. Yeah.
And we're like trying to talk to him about it. You know, I was a football mad 20-something year old. Like all I wanted to do was hear about the stories and the locker
right.
room and, you know, like just funny stories.
Yeah.
You know, and it would have endeared myself to him and the organization if you could share those stories. But he was really closed about it, and it was like a previous life to him. I don't know whether he was sad that it was over or
right.
Kind of that culture just came from the top that it was sort of you didn't talk about it despite
okay.
us knowing that he did or finding out
right.
It's really funny that changes the narrative. So it's not like I would have volunteered anything. If he had said, oh yeah, you know, I did it and it was fun and look, let's chat about it over lunch or at Friday
right.
night, at Friday night drinks or whatever. And then, you know, what else do you do? And I think that's what's needed. And the younger generation certainly want to endear themselves with people. When I started accounting, it was very much you just did what you were told.
Yeah.
It was very stale, very top-down, authoritarian kind of way. I'm your boss. You know, I don't have a life.
Right.
neither will you.
Right.
Right. Rah, rah,
right.
rah, rah, rah. And I've certainly seen that over the years change as the demographic gets younger.
Okay.
In the same firm, though, I mean, having said that, in the same firm, there was one of the partners was mad keen on golf. And for sort of 364 days of the year, he was a bit of a stick in the mud and didn't really talk about his events
right.
or his outside life. But once a year, he'd sort of throw it open and say, look, I'll host whoever wants to come play at the golf club. We'll come and have a golf game.
Yeah.
And, you know, even that one day of the year, I know it was something that for the sort of 5 or 6 years I worked there was a day I looked forward to.
Yeah.
It was not socializing, but mixing it outside work.
Right.
Where you could,
right.
You could get to know the person more.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people do business with people. So.
Right. I mean, absolutely. And there's like even brain science behind it that I've been reading up on since I've, you know, started this and there's oxytocin and norepinephrine and chemicals in your brain where it's, you know, like people that are interested in something are interesting to you.
Yep.
And that's where the bonding comes in and trust and all those things where you feel closer together. So then when you're going through busy season, it's not so hard and the highs aren't so high, the lows aren't so low. And, you know, there's real brain science to this. And, you know, it's just such a cool thing when you're able to share. And I know in the sales world, they refer to it kind of as a pattern interrupt,
okay.
where the pattern is you're an accountant that, yeah, like you said, doesn't enjoy their job, has no life, and no one around them has a life either. But then all of a sudden, when someone does have a life, it's like such a huge pattern interrupt that it's like, wait, what? You know, and everybody wants to know. And that's like you said, when their people's eyes light up when you tell them curling.
It's funny. I have to tell people when people sort of say, what do you do? I say, oh, I'm an accountant, but I get my personality back at 5 p.m.
Nice.
When
nice.
I leave. And that kind of just, it's the pattern interrupt, I guess, a bit. It was kind of, oh, they weren't ready for it. And it's kind of like, yeah, you know, I'm boring 9 to 5, but I actually, you know, I can have a life and, and get out and about. So, and curling does that, but you can't walk in, you know, if you walk into a job and can't express yourself or can't talk about hobbies, you don't want to do it all day. You know, you
clearly not.
The water cooler is there for a reason, right? And, it just, you've got to keep staff engaged and happy and all sorts of things. And certainly taking an interest, exactly like you said, in other people. Because there's some interesting people out there, right?
Like, there's some unbelievably cool people. I mean, you know, just from doing this podcast, it's like, what? Like this, Rebecca Burnick is somebody that I had on the Green Apple podcast. And she was a backup dancer in the Prince Purple Rain music video.
Wow.
And she also, we talked the most part about, she holds the land speed record for vintage motorcycles. And she's a business consultant. And you're like, wait, what? Exactly. Like, you can't just like drop that on accident. I mean, like, that's crazy. And I guess one thing I love to just ask you is, why do you think the stereotype exists still? And most importantly, why do accountants still believe it?
I think, purely in my opinion, is that we, because we hold a position of, you know, I guess a professional, a serious sort of trusted advisor.
Okay.
That it almost attaches itself to a level of seriousness that we can't, or some people sort of can't say, well, if I look, I have to look serious all the time.
Right.
Because I'm doing a serious job. I can't, it's sort of like people who have this constant desire to feel strong, they never want to look weak. It's sort of, I see it as the same thing as like, nobody appreciates or they never used to appreciate that you can have a switch. You can go at 5 p.m. I can do what I want. It doesn't change the fact that from 9 to 5 I'm an awesome accountant just because I then go out and shoot a shotgun or yell at people on the ice or whatever. But I think that some people do worry about looking like they're not as serious or professional. I think that came more certainly when people are in a position of authority over people.
Right.
It's that top-down approach that they don't want to, you know, almost you're concerned not to be a friend to the people under you in case you need to discipline them.
Right, but it's quite the opposite, right? I mean, because if you're friends with them, then you can be honest and then we move on and they don't get their feelings hurt so much.
Yeah, I think there's a medium. You know, I think you can't be super chummy.
Sure.
Because sometimes you're going to have to make a call. But sharing your hobbies is not being super chummy, right? Like you're not.
Exactly.
You're not having family holidays together. You're just.
Right.
On a Monday morning, you're just talking about what you do.
Yeah. And the best part is that, you know, sharing your hobbies and passions with clients is actually an accelerant, if you will, you know.
People remember it. And it,
yeah,
it does. Yeah. It humanizes it. And when accountants are in, we're a human relationship.
Totally.
We're a sort of a professional friend.
Yeah.
Especially in the small business space. And people forget that they do, people do business with people, and people that they can relate to. You can't relate to a sort of a purely 100%
robot of sorts.
Robot, exactly. A tax knowledge robot.
Yeah, this has been awesome. Really, really great. Such great examples and such great stories for everyone. But before I hop on an airplane and fly, I don't know, 14 hours or whatever it is, to come throw some stones, curling, and more importantly, yelling. I have my 17 rapid-fire questions that I like to run you through. So let me fire this machine up here. And all right. Looks like I'm having some trouble with it, but we'll see. All right, there we go. Now it's up and running. Here we go. All right. First question. I'll start you out easy. Are you more oceans or mountains?
Mountains.
Mountains, all right.
Snow skiing. Big snow skier.
There we go. Should have known. Do you have a favorite ice cream flavor?
Coconut. I'm a big fan of coconut.
Coconut. Wow, that's an interesting answer. All right, when it comes to computers, are you more PC or Mac?
Mac everything.
How about, are you more Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. How about, do you have a favorite color?
Purple.
Interesting. All right.
Just like it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Just like it.
and how about a least favorite color?
I really don't have a least favorite color. It used to be pink in my younger day, but as I've grown, I've embraced pink now. But no, don't have a least favorite color.
Good for you, man. Good for you. How about more pens or pencils?
Pencils.
How about more Sudoku or crossword puzzle?
Sudoku,
sure. Are you more of a suit and tie or jeans and a t-shirt?
Jeans and a t-shirt.
All right, next one. More cats or dogs?
Kids.
Nice. Are you more of an early bird or a night owl?
A night owl, but the problem is I now have to be both.
Are you more balance sheet or income statement?
Good question. Income statement. Exactly.
Is there a movie that makes you cry?
Oh, I think it was Weekend at Morrie's with Hank Azaria. It still sticks with me as possibly one of the saddest movies I've ever watched.
Right. We got four more. Do you have a favorite number?
27.
Ooh, why is that?
I have no idea.
How about, are you more boxers or briefs?
Boxers.
Do you have a favorite comedian?
Mike McIntyre. I think that's his name, the guy who does the family comedy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the last one, the favorite thing you own or the favorite thing you have?
Happy to have a family and healthy and happy kids and a lovely wife. So.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. Very cool. Well, thank you so much, Paul, for being with me today on the Green Apple Podcast. This was really, really fantastic.
I've really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Wow, that was so great. I loved how Paul said that he doesn't waste time thinking about whether it's going to be good or not. He just does what he's passionate about. And from all the people I've talked with, the greatest fear is that others are going to judge us and what we're doing. But it ends up totally being in our own head. So I just love that Paul's out there just doing it. And if you'd like to see some pictures of Paul doing some curling and get a link to From the Trenches podcast or connect with him on social media, be sure to go to greenapplepodcast.com. And while you're on that page, please click that big green button and do the anonymous research survey about firm culture. And thanks again for the ratings on iTunes or whatever app you use and for sharing this with your friends so they get the message that we're all trying to spread, which is to go out and be a green apple.